Amazing how that works. Oh. It thrills my soul, genuinely does, to see you all enjoy each other so much. And that speaks volumes to other churches. And particularly I'm thinking about the group over in Sarasota. They were just, they've been so impressed with the Lord's work in your hearts for one another and for the gospel, and they want that. They want that. And they know they don't have it yet. And so pray with them that the Lord will provide them a pastor, because that's probably not going to happen until they get someone there full time. And so that's, pray for them, and thank you. We didn't get to the last verse. Ran out of time. I'm just going to read it to open this second hour. Thou wilt perform the truth of Jacob and the mercy of Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. This gospel has never changed. We believe the same gospel Abraham believed, same gospel Abel believed, same gospel Adam believed, same gospel Paul preached. It's from the days of old, hasn't changed. It's the gospel of God's free grace in the finished work of the Lamb of God. And that's the one we've come to worship. All right, let's stand together. Tom's going to come lead us in the hymn on the back of your bulletin.
Free from the law's great curse, in Jesus we are free. For Christ became a curse for us and died upon the tree. The rituals of the
Most of you know Dennis Fitston, but Dennis, some of you know him from when he was a little boy and used to be a member here before they moved to Charlotte. The Lord has gifted this young man to preach the gospel, and he brought two outstanding messages Friday night, Saturday morning in Sarasota, and I've asked him to read scripture for us this morning and lead us in prayer. So, Dennis.
Thank you for that message, Greg. I was so blessed by it. You know, this fellowship, I was telling the brethren earlier, will always be my second home, you know, and the fellowship in Sarasota too. And I'm so thankful for your all's faithfulness and for your pastor. You know, I love your pastor. I heard the gospel through this man. I'm just thankful for this fellowship. For scripture reading this morning, turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only 20 verses, and I'll try to minimize my comments on it because this passage just speaks for itself. It's so glorious. Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto us his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Isn't that what Ezekiel said? Isn't that what happened to Ezekiel in his prophecy? When he said, I saw the Lord, I fell on my face. You know, Isaiah, when he saw him in his glory, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell among a people of unclean lips. Woe is me, for I have seen the Lord. Or Daniel, when he saw the glory of the Lord, he said, my comeliness was turned into corruption. When you see him, you'll fall at his feet as dead. But I'm so thankful for this next part of the verse. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall hereafter be. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven golden candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you truly are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. Lord, we are truly thankful that you are sovereign over all things and that you rule all things for our good, for our salvation, and for your glory. Lord, we pray now as you walk among the seven golden candlesticks, Lord, your churches, that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would give us a glimpse of your glory in the finished work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, eyes to see the face of our Savior, Lord. Just save us, Lord. Save us this hour. Point us to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and comfort our hearts with these blessed, blessed truths. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
Number 168 in the hardback tome. Number 168.
168. We'll sing this a cappella. Let's all stand.
Lord, I hear of showers of blessing thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing, let some drops now fall on me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O tender Savior, let me love and cling to thee. I am longing for thy favor, whilst thou art calling, O call me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O mighty Spirit, thou canst make the blind to see. Witnesser of Jesus' merit, speak the word of power to me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Love of God so pure and changeless, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and boundless, magnify them all in me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, thy lost one bringing, bind my heart, O Lord, to thee. While the streams of life are springing, blessing others, O bless me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me.
Please be seated. Bert Dunbar is going to bring some special music now.
dark disdain that soil man's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope in heaven, into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain open, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the slain has gone. Praise the Lord for his salvation. God still reigns upon his throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Conscious of the deep pollution, sinners wander in the night, though they hear the shepherd calling, they still fear to face the light. 'Tis the blessed consolation that can melt a heart of stone, that sweet balm of Gilead reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for his salvation. God still reigns upon his throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. All unworthy we who wandered, and our eyes are wet with tears as we think of love that sought us through the weary wasted years. Yet we walk that holy highway, walking by God's grace alone, knowing Calvary's fountain reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for his salvation. God still reigns upon his, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. When with holy choirs we're standing in the presence of the King, and our souls are lost in wonder, while the white robe choirs sing, then we'll praise the name of Jesus with the millions round the throne. Praise Him for the power that reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for His salvation. God still reigns upon His throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone.
Thank you, Bert. About 18 years ago, I had an opportunity to travel to Mexico for the first time to visit with Cody, and went in, Walter and Betty, and the time there, three kids were young, and now they're grown, and Andrea, Cody's daughter, had his first granddaughter this past week in Texas, and he was gracious enough to pull away from that and come here and preach for us. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for your friendship, Cody, what you've meant to this fellowship over the years. Very, very special. We're anxious to hear what the Lord has put on your heart, so please come.
Thank you, brother. This congregation is very special to me, and special, well, wherever the Lord unites our hearts, we're special to one another. And the speciality comes from being children of God. God's children love each other. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this time that I have to be with you. We've had a great time there at Sarasota, preaching there and being with the brethren there. And I'm very encouraged by the desire that this congregation has to see the gospel go out to be preached all over the world. This is the only reason that this church exists, or any church. And this is the job of the church. Go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. And to see that, and what a blessing it is. What a privilege it is for this congregation or any congregation to be used in a small way, because it is a small way. It's not our work. It's not unto us, as you said. Not unto us. That's the cry of every believer. Not unto us, but unto thy name. Give glory. It's His work. And we're thankful to be used in any small way, if we could be used for the glory of God, for the good of His people. We're very thankful. Very thankful. So I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for this congregation. I must also say that we, the congregation in Merida, sends their greetings to you and are thankful for the help that you sent to expand our auditorium. We have now expanded it to double the size, and so I'm still waiting for y'all to come down and see it. Don't all come down at one time. Don't have room for everybody. But if you come a little bit at a time, I will. So, but we love to have you come and visit, so several men have expressed a desire, and we would love to have you. So it's a real encouragement to the churches there. You know, the encouragement that the church in Sarasota, the brethren there, receive from the church here is the same encouragement that the churches in Mexico receive. I wish that they could all come here and visit you. I wish they could. Circumstances do not allow that, but someday we'll all be together. Someday we'll all be around the throne of our Lord Jesus Christ, And as we are this morning, since around the throne, around the Lord, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in him. I want us to open our Bibles this morning to a passage that's well known. It's Romans chapter 10. We don't have any new message. This is the eternal message. But I want us to, let me pull out my notes. I hope I don't need them, but I better pull them out because I just freeze up. I want us to particularly think of this thing of what does the gospel we preach say? What are we saying? When we preach the gospel, when we come and preach the gospel, what are we saying? And I will get to that. I will get to that in the scriptures. Verse 8 says, but what saith it? So what are we saying? What does the gospel say? Well, the Apostle Paul, like we heard earlier, men fabricate their own gods. Men think that there are many ways to God. And even when men have Bibles in their hands, there's only one word of God. God has only revealed himself by and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to know the Lord Jesus Christ is to know him as he's revealed in this word, the Bible you have in your hand. That's the only way to know God. But even when men have Bibles in their hand, it takes the Spirit of God. It takes the Spirit of God. God must give life. God must convince. God must teach each and every one of his children. But men are religious. And the Apostle Paul is talking about a burden. A burden he has for lost men and women. And it's the same burden that you have for your friends, your loved ones, your acquaintances, especially those who are religious, who you think, that's not right. That's not the gospel. That's not the God, the only true and living God. You're serving a false God. The Apostle Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire. And it's not only my desire, because it's my desire, I pray. I pray. I ask God to do something for them. I pray for them. It's my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, those who are of his own nation. They had the word of God, but they did not believe God. They did not know God. And we'll see what it was they were doing. It's like they were so close and yet so far. I know that nothing is impossible with God, but somebody that has a Bible is closer than somebody that has a Quran. Do you see what I'm saying? Somebody that has the Bible has the Word of God. Somebody that has a false book in his hand is further. But he said, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're zealous. They have a zeal of God, of the true God. There's only one true God, and that is the God that revealed himself to the nation of Israel. These were Israelites after the flesh. But they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, and this is the reason. A person that knows God knows that the only way to please God is to please God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not doing this. This book was not a book to tell you what to do. It's a book that tells us what God has done, what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It says here these three things. First, they're ignorant of God's righteousness. And all men by nature are ignorant of God's righteousness. God is holy. God is holy. Holy. God is holy. How holy is God? There is no other God like him. You can't compare God to another. He is alone. So that word holy is an abstract to us. You can't, when you compare a thing, when you compare something to something else, then you say it's like this. Everybody eats some particular food and they say it tastes like chicken. They're comparing something. But you can't compare God to any. God is alone. So God is holy. What does that word mean? It's abstract to us. Have you ever stood in front of a painting and you just scratch your head and I don't get it? That's right, it's an abstract. Maybe even the artist doesn't even know what it is, but crazy people think, whoa, that's art. I'm sorry if I offended anybody. Maybe I'm just so uncultured. But it's an abstract. But here's what God, holy God, means. It defines it in the Word. When our Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, that holy, spotless, separate from sinners, the Holy One of Israel, the one who knew no sin, who did no sin, when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, was made sin for us, God turned his back on God. You say, well, I don't understand that. That's holy. It's if we could see that, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Holy One, the one who had no sin, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I cry all the night long. But in verse 3 of that Psalm 22, it says, but thou art holy. Thou art holy. God is holy. And God's holiness, God's law, God's perfection requires, God's holy law requires perfection. And there's a saying in Spanish that goes, así se va. Have you ever heard that? Así se va. Close enough. Translation, close enough. There's no such thing. In order to come before God, we must be holy like God is. We must have the holiness. We must have the righteousness of God himself. The right doing of God himself. And a man that pretends to come to God by any other means but the Lord Jesus Christ is ignoring that. Willfully ignoring that. If he has heard this, willfully ignoring this. God, those who have the scriptures, who pretend to contribute to God's finished work that the Lord Jesus Christ did, they're willfully ignoring. The Lord Jesus Christ said, it's finished. Did he not say it's finished? Well, they're being ignorant of God's righteousness. Well, when they're ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. That's exactly what Adam did. He tried to make his own righteousness. As soon as he fell, he tried to make himself a covering. We have a testimony in ourselves that we need to be covered. There's a testimony in every man that we need to be covered. But man is trying to establish his own righteousness and trying to bring that before God. And any man that looks to this word, this is the word of God. And in the word of God is the way to salvation. It's good that Timothy was brought up in the scriptures. They're able to make him wise unto salvation. And it's good for us to read the book and hear the gospel
preach. But if a man takes this word of God and twists it, he'll twist it to his own destruction. There's enough, as I've said many times, there's enough rope in the Bible that if a man is going to hang himself, there's enough for it. There's enough rope. Because the gospel is a gospel of God's, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. How God can put away the sins of his people by the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're establishing their own righteousness. And they'll find out one day. The Lord said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons in your name? We did many wonderful works in your name. And the Lord said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never loved you. He's not saying I didn't know you were there. He put them there. They're going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted it. We know by the grace of God that everything we do, our righteousness is our fake, filthy rags. But here's what they're doing. They're ignoring God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. Submitting yourself to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. It's trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God the Father sent the Son to do. He came into this world to establish righteousness. Did he not? He came to obey. He came to do the Father's will. In order for man, in order for every woman, boy, or child, or anybody that's going to stand before God and not be consumed. We heard this. Our God is a consuming fire. In order for any one of us to stand before God and not be consumed, we must have the righteousness of God. We must be made the righteousness of God. Our God is a consuming fire. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as a man to establish righteousness. As a man, he obeyed all the law of God. Not only in action, but in thought. Indeed, everything he did, he established perfect righteousness. And God the Father said this of the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased. Submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God is believing God, believing what God has said in his word about Jesus Christ. It is finished. Now, this says here in verse 4, for Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What that's saying is the law was never given in the Old Testament to save anyone. The law was only given to show us who we are. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way God has ever saved any sinner. Abel was saved by the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave faith to Abel to believe God, trust in him, that he was going to come in the fullness of time and give his precious blood to put away his sin. And this was the picture Abel brought. That was the way God preached the gospel in the Old Testament. And they were kept, the nation of Israel kept under these types and figures, confined or separate from the rest of the nations until the fulfillment, until Christ came. And when he came, did away with all those figures. Did away. They never did take away one sin. Christ is the end of the law. What that means, he is the fulfillment of that law. He is the fulfillment. In the Lord Jesus Christ, all the types in the Old Testament, they're speaking of him. So when we look in the tabernacle, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is that tabernacle. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said, a body hast thou prepared me. God was in Christ. That was the dwelling place. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That's our tabernacle. The Lord Jesus Christ is the priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is God to whom he is. He's the priest who offers the sacrifice. And he is God to whom the sacrifice is offered. The Lord Jesus Christ. All is figured in the Old Testament. And that's what it's saying. This Old Testament and them trying to keep laws. All kinds of laws. Ceremonial laws. None of these things. We can't keep them. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. For righteousness. Christ is the end of the law. And in other words, he fulfilled the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Everyone that believes God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is that person's righteousness. If you believe God, your life is the life of Christ. It's talking about union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 5, it says, for Moses described the righteousnesses of the law. Moses tells us that righteousness that was in the law, here's what it says. The man which doeth these things shall live by them. You know, there's only one man that did those things. There's only one man that ever did these things, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that earned the right. Now, we don't talk about earning. It's grace. Salvation's by grace. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ earned the right. Earned the right. The man that doeth these things, he'll live. And the only one that has done this thing is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing wrong with the law. I said the law was never given for salvation. And the reason we can't be saved by the law is because we're dead from the get-go. Is that right? We're dead from the beginning. We cannot fulfill that law. We cannot obey that law. That law goes more than just what happens outside. It examines your thoughts and your imaginations. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has established God's holy law. He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I didn't come to destroy. I came to fulfill. He said, every jot and every tittle of this word is going to be fulfilled. He fulfilled the word of God. He obeyed God's holy law. But what does the law say? Do and live. Does it have any stipulation for when you don't do? Here's what it says. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. It doesn't have any... Doesn't have any stipulation of mercy. No mercy. Doesn't have any stipulation of mercy. The soul that sinneth shall do it and live. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with the law. But we can't fulfill the law. Never have. The Lord Jesus Christ, he did. And that's that righteousness that we must have. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man that doeth these things shall live in them. But that was never talking about. That was never saying, okay, this is what you need to do to live. Do them and live. It's talking about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to do these things and live. He was going to do these things and live. The Lord Jesus Christ. The man that does these things shall live. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who's going to do it. But men are thinking, okay, well, I got to do it, and I'm going to live. That's not what the gospel says. But here's what the gospel, of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And here's what I want us to say. But the righteousness which is of faith. Truth came by Moses, but grace, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. The righteousness that comes by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's salvation. Here's the gospel. The righteousness which is by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness that he brought in to this world. The gospel of the Lord Jesus. This is what it says. And remember, the title of the message is, what does it say? The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith speaketh on this wise. And it jumps to verse 8. And I want particularly to speak to someone here tonight that, or today, this morning, that has not believed. Some people that have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. I was talking to my son the other day, and what he said rang so true with me. People like to disguise their unbelief and rebellion. And I'm talking about myself. People who hear the gospel bring up objections. People who hear the gospel bring up objections. And he was saying, I knew that that was the truth. I knew that God could save. I knew that God could save me. But I thought, look at how many people in my family he's already saved. Look at how many people he's already saved. He's already saved my grandparents. He's already saved my parents. He saved my brother. Like you're going to run out the mercy of God. Do you see what I'm saying? Like the mercy of God could be, like you going and say, I'm thirsty, but I can't drink of a fountain like as big as the ocean because other people might be thirsty. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But people always bring up objections, always bring up thoughts. And to those who haven't believed, I know you've always, maybe you haven't. And I try not to be this way. But listen, in this matter of man by nature, we're all this way. If you ever talk to someone and they're not listening to you because all they're waiting for you to stop talking so they can start talking. Have you ever talked to anybody like that? We don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that way. But men by nature are that way. And it is the equivalent of saying but. It's the equivalent of saying but. Isn't it not so? It's the equivalent of saying, but this. What my son said. But I just thought, surely it doesn't apply to me because he's already had mercy on all these members in my family. Surely. That's just disguised unbelief and rebellion is all it is. I remember when I was about 20, I was talking to someone and I could argue doctrine and argue position and argue the doctrinal points. And I remember clearly telling this person, I said, I know that this is the truth. I know that this is the truth. And I know that if I died right now, I'd go to hell. What is that? That's what he's saying right here. Say not in your heart. You know, we ministers are told not to put stumbling blocks. We're not to put stumbling blocks in the way of believers coming to Christ. We're not to put, let's see if you're really sorry. Let's see if you really understand enough doctrine before you could come to Christ. Let's make you go to some catechism before you could come to Christ. or let's make you do this or that or the other. I don't know, inventions of men. And false preachers always do that. They want to control people. And we're told not to put obstacles. You know, in those cities of refuge, they were to be marked. And they were prepared the highway. Get out of the way. That's what the idea of a preacher wants to, when he stands up, Lord, let me get out of the way. Let me get in the way of someone coming to Christ. So preachers, we're told not to put up barriers and obstacles and like a hurdles race. It's to be a clear path. But it's not just preachers putting up. That's bad. That's real bad. We're told not to. But man himself puts up hurdles. And it's these buts. And here's the, and before he defines what the gospel is saying, he says, don't you say this. You see what I'm saying? Before he defines, but what does it say in verse 8? The first thing he says, but don't you say this. In other words, when you hear the gospel, believe. Don't say, but I must feel so bad. I must have this experience of going into the third heavens. I must have some vision in the night. If you just want a vision in the night, eat pizza about 10 o'clock at night. You'll have some visions. But it won't mean you're saved. But the point is this. It says here, say not in your heart. Don't say like this. Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. You know, at that time that I told you that I said, I know that this is true, but if I died, I know I would go to hell. You know what I was thinking then? If I could have a time machine and I could go back and stand at the feet of the cross, then I would believe. That's exactly what that's saying. That's exactly what that's saying. Oh, if I could have lived back then, if I could have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, you're rebellious. That's not what the gospel says. Don't you put obstacles. Don't you say but. It's very clear. God has spoken. God's word is true. It's faithful saying. But men want to disguise their unbelief with their unbelief and rebellion with some kind of, I want to have this great experience, this of being taken up into heaven. Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Christ already came. Christ already rose from the grave. Christ already rose from the grave. When Christ rose from the grave, God testified that He's satisfied. He's satisfied with all that Christ has done. There's nothing else to be done. Nothing else can be added. It's finished. It's the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, say not in your heart, who shall descend into the deep? Oh, I must have a deep, deep experience of my sinfulness. No. I believe growing in grace, you grow in understanding of just how sinful you are. But I don't believe anybody ever knows just exactly how sinful we are. Walking dead. How pretty would that be? Walking dead. We're dead in trespasses. That's what the scriptures speak of us outside. Dead in trespasses and sins. That's pretty. I must have this great experience or conviction of my sin. No. What does the gospel say? Believe. Believe. Right now. That's what it says in verse 8. But what does it say? But what does... So when he defines what the gospel that we preach, when he defines what the righteousness of faith, what the righteousness, the gospel of the righteousness of God by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He as a man believed God. He as a man obeyed God's holy law, established righteousness here in the earth. He as a man put away the sins of his people by the sacrifice of himself. What does this say? Don't say, don't you bring up objections. Don't you bring up these stumbling blocks. But what does it say? Here's what we're saying. When you hear the gospel and God gives you faith, God gives you life, it'll surprise you. Here's what we'll say. It's not a process. It's not a process. Have you ever thought, ooh, a light went off in my... A light went off in me. The Apostle Paul was hated the Lord Jesus Christ and was ready to kill anybody that confessed that Jesus was the Christ. Was ready to kill him. And he was on the way to Damascus persecuting the name of Jesus. Anybody that confessed that Jesus was the Christ. And surprise of surprise, Christ was revealed in him. Oh, I don't have to be going out there. Oh, it's in here. It's in here. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And when you hear the gospel, when the God gives you life, and when God opens your eyes and gives you spiritual sight, this that you've been hearing for a long time and you've been making all these obstacles and stumbling by, it's a, I believe. It's in here. It's not like you make a choice to believe. You believe because you have to believe. You believe because you have to believe. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. How close is it? Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. It's right there. It's already there. If it's there. If it's there. It's Christ in you. And it'll be in your mouth if it's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When God reveals them to you, it'll be in your heart, and it's going to come out. I believe. I didn't believe this before. Bless God, I believe now. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about something for you to do. Not giving you something to do. We're telling you what God does. What God does. And when God does it, it'll come out. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know why you'll be saved? Because he saved you from eternity. You'll be saved. When a person believes, he'll confess. He'll confess and he'll know. He'll know what God has done for him. God did this for me, and I believe it. The heart, this says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And, you know, faith is not something ignorant. Faith is not something ignorant. When a person believes, he knows who he believes. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I believe. So there must be the preaching of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There must be the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he came to do, where he is right now. So we have an understanding of this. We know the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. We know that Jesus Christ is God. We know that in our head. But a lot of people know this in their head, but they don't love it. They haven't received love for the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. But when God puts this in your heart, not only do you understand it, you love it. And not only do you understand it and you love it, you come to Him. No one ever has believed God who does not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that is taught of God comes to me, the Lord Jesus Christ said. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Here's another thing. If He's in your heart, it's going to be in your mouth. You're going to confess Him. And that when you confess Him, you're calling on Him. You call, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You'll ask Him. You've heard of Him. You've heard of Him. You've heard of Him. I know that's true. But when the Lord reveals, you're going to call on Him. Ask, Lord, save me. And you'll always be saying that, Lord, save me. Lord, who's going to deliver me from the Apostle Paul? He's still saying, Lord, save me. Save me. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The good that I would, I don't. The evil that I would, that I do. I need to be saved from the presence of sin. There is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same as Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He shall be saved because from eternity the Lord Jesus Christ was given. He was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shall be saved. Thank you, brethren, for your loving prayers for us there in Mexico. I thank the Lord for His faithfulness to each and every one of us. If He doesn't build it, if He doesn't build this house, it's in vain. Everything we do. And if He doesn't build this congregation, everything. So we are dependent on Him. Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me. Let me preach here.
That's the gospel. Thank you, Cody. We're going to finish up our meetings for this weekend tonight in Sarasota. And we covet your prayers for that service. We changed the time. Normally we meet at 5 on Sunday night over there, but tonight we're meeting at 6. So if you're able to come, make note of that. And if you're not able to come, we understand, but please ask the Lord to bless the meeting tonight. Let's stand together, Brother Tom. You're going to lead us? 224. Let's stand together.
To me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how Him, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.